And then this morning, Sedra in Parshas Vayishlach, so we have the strange event, difficult to understand event with the daughter of Yaakov Avinu, his only daughter, or at least the only daughter that's mentioned in the Furish and the Psukim, Dina, who is taken by an individual named Shem ben Hamor, who falls in love with her and wants to marry her. First he takes her and appears that he violates her. And later on, he pleads with his father, Hamor, Shem ben Hamor, pleads with his father, Hamor, who was the Nesi Haaretz. He was the chief of that tribe in that area. The Jews always had trouble in Shem, still a problem today. But he pleads with his father to go ahead and please get me this girl. I want to marry this girl. And so Hamor and Shem come and speak to Yaakov and to his sons, the brothers of Dinah. And they make a proposal, and the proposal is that they should be able to marry one another. Pasuk says, Berak Lamadal, Pasuk says, Vaydaber Chamor Itam Lemor, Shchem Bini, Choshko Naafsho Bevitachem, Tenuna Oso Lo Isha. My son Shchem has a great desire for your daughter, for Dina, and let her marry him. Vishchat, the Pasuk says, Vishchatnu Osonu, Benosechem Titnu Lonaris, Benosenu Tikulachem. And you can marry, we'll intermarry with one another. Your daughters, you'll give us to our men, and you'll take our daughters to your men, and we'll all be, we'll live together. So this is, of course, the first occasion where we have specifically a presentation in Chumash relating to intermarriage. So I thought it would be worthwhile to look at a subject that relates to intermarriage, and relates to common practice, as we advertise the shiur is about going out for a cup of coffee. This is something which, as we'll see, relates to intermarriage in the following sense. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Hayamid Bey, is a Mishnah. Mishnah says, Ve'elu dvarim shel ovdei kochavim asurin ve'ein isuron isur hanoah. There are a number of things which relate to something which a non-Jew is prepared, a goy is prepared, and it's asur to eat, but there's no isur hanoah. And it mentions, Cholov shechovu ovdei kochavim ve'ein isurah roehu, milk which has been milked by a non-Jew, and there's no Jew present to watch it. The general concern, as we'll see, as the Gemara explains later, not our topic tonight, but the concern there is that the milk will perhaps be milked from a non-kosher animal. The din is that just as an animal is not kosher, any product of the animal is also not kosher. That's called yotzim in a'osu or yotzim in a'tome. So just like an animal is not kosher, so its milk or the eggs or other things from that animal also not kosher. So there's a concern that since there are other mammals that produce milk that are not kosher, a horse produces milk, a camel produces milk, so it has to be a Jew who's watching to see to it that the milk comes from a kosher animal. That's why we have what's called Cholav Yisrael. Cholav Yisrael means that there was a Jew who was there who ascertained that the milk came from a non-kosher, came from a kosher animal. That's one of the things that's also. As we know, in many countries, including the United States, the leniencies are to drink even Cholav that was not supervised by a Jew, because it happens to be the law, at least in this country, that anything which is sold as milk that's not otherwise identified has to be milked from a cow. That's a federal law, and the assumption is, and Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva and others, that no manufacturer is going to take the chance to manage to sell as milk something that came from another animal, because they'll get caught, not by the rabbis. They may not be worried about the rabbis catching him, but they'll be worried that the government will catch him and he'll lose his license, or sustain a fine and so on. It's not worth it. So we're allowed to rely on that. Okay, but then the Mishnah goes on and mentions other things, bread baked by a non-Jew. And it also says the hashlokos. So Rashi there on that Mishnah again, Lamed Hamid Beis and Avodah Zarah says the hashlokos called davar shebishlo obekocham vafilu bekli tahar bechulam shum chasnas. What is shlokos? Shlokos usually means a cooked vegetables, but it comes, as Rashi says here, to mean anything which was cooked by a non-Jew, even in a kosher pot, even in a kosher oven. If it was cooked by the non-Jew, that's included in this prohibition. That's called bisholakum, something which is cooked by a non-Jew. Now, I should clarify right at the outset, we're talking, of course, that the ingredients are kosher. That's nothing to talk about. Obviously, if you know, there's concern that they're non-kosher ingredients, then they don't need the issue of bisholakum. That's for sure. We're talking about where the ingredients are 100% kosher, and the pot made in a kosher pot, and everything else, but the goy cooked it, so that's what's awesome. That's what Rashi says, kol dover shebishlo ove kochovim, Vafilu b'chli tahar, even in a kosher kli, and then Rashi says v'chulu mishum chasnus. This is all to prevent intermarriage. How does avoiding food cooked by a non-Jew prevent intermarriage? So Rashi there doesn't say, but the Gemara earlier says the following. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah also, Daf Lamed Aleph Mbeis, a few pages earlier, says itmar mipnei ma osru sheicher shalovet kochavim. Why did they ask for beer that is produced by a non-Jew? After a beer doesn't tend to have non-kosher ingredients, it's barley and other types of grain, hops or whatever, is cooked with water in a certain way. So beer has no non-kosher ingredients. So the Gemara asks, why the asur beer from a, made by a non-Jew? So the Gemara says, Rami bar Chama Amar Rav Yitzchok Mishum Chasnos. That's the Gemara earlier on Lamed Aleph Mabez. That's also because of Chasnos, because we want to avoid problems of intermarriage. Rashi there on Lamed Aleph Mabez explains, Mishum Chasnos Shalo Yargil Lasos Mishtos Eitzel Ove Kocham Vitein Enov Bevito. It's so that Jews and non-Jews don't get together. People usually drink beer and sit down and eat and drink and so on at a social occasion. They're gathering with, where basically for the purpose of socialization. So the Gemara had a concern that if Jews are going to drink beer that was made by a non-Jew, so then, you know, he'll go over to the non-Jew's house and he'll yitain ein of the vito. He'll see a girl there, and a goyish girl that's attractive to him and so on and so forth. And one thing will lead to another. So this was a gzeira mishum chasid. That's what Rashi says. Actually, the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah of Azara Perek Beis Mishnah Vav says that when it says Mishum Chasnas, it doesn't only mean Chasnas, it can mean other Isurim too. There might be other Isurim involved, which is a little difficult because that's not really the flow of the Gemara, but that's how the Rambam writes in the Perish HaMishnah. After all, if you're at the non-Jew's house, you're having a party with the non-Jews, are good, maybe the beer is all kosher ingredients, but what about some of the other food that might be on the smorgasbord table, you know, you don't know? So it'll lead to other Isurim. That's the Rambam says Chasnas is just a kind of a general type of term, but I think most people learn that chasnas really means intermarriage, and that's the real concern. Because again, people eat and drink, people socialize. It's food is eating and drinking, in addition to eating and drinking for the nourishment and for our physical needs, but it's also a social activity. So in order to minimize socialization between Jew and non-Jew, so the Chachamim asked this. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Macholos Asuras Perek Yud Zayin Halochetes, the Rambam writes, there are certain things which the Chachamim asked, they have absolutely no basis in the Torah. There's no hint, there's no remnants of pure din de Rabbanan. There's nothing in the Torah that directs us to prohibit these things. But there are certain such things, the Rambam tells us, based on this Gemara. And he says, these are things which the Chachamim prohibited so that the Jews and the non-Jews should not interface with each other, should not interact with each other too much on a social level, and which may lead to intermarriage. And the Rambam says these are some of the things. It says there are sheets, there's some mistakes, but the sheets might be helpful. There's two sheets. Here's what they are, says the Rambam. They answered, "Asur lishtos imoyin vafil makom shein lachus l'yayin nesach." And not allowed to drink, even if there, again there's no concern where the food item itself is would be considered not kosher. "Va'asur lechol pitong," and not allowed to eat bread baked by a non-Jew. "O bishulehen," or for cooking or anything which is cooked by them. "Vafil makom shein lachus l'giulehen," even where it's not worried and not there's not flavor that was asur that became balu into the kli or whatever. So now I'm saying here again, I stress this has nothing to do with the ingredients. We're assuming here that the ingredients are 100% kosher, and the pots and the utensils, everything, that's not the problem. Even if all of that is true, still, they asked anything cooked by a non-Jew, that's what we're up to so far, anything cooked by a non-Jew. And the Rambam says, again, his lashon is, that gozer aleim kdei lisrachek mina akum ad shalo yisarbu behen yisrael v'yavo l'dei chasnus. Again, as I said before, in the Perish HaMishnah, the Rambam says a little differently. He says Chasnas includes other Yisurim, but here in the Mishnah Torah, he paskins, by the way, the simple reading of the Gemara is, this is the Yisur in terms of Chasnas. Now, it's interesting, just as an aside, as I said before, and as the Rambam stressed, this is a pure din de Rabbanan. There's nothing, the Rambam's Loshen is, this is something, She'ein l'Yisurim Ikar min HaTorah. There's nothing even, no remnants in the Torah to it at all. But it's interesting, Tosus points out about Azara, in a later Gemara, Lamed Zayin Mekbeis Dibur Masav Ashlokos, Tosus writes, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Midaboy Tamur Bishlokos Shekasav Midaraisuhi Shema Gzeira Kadmonis. So he learns from the Gemara that it appears that this Din de Rabbanan is a very ancient Gzeira Kadmonis, an old Gzeira. The Isser against eating food cooked by a non-Jew is the Rambam, the Gemara Tosus says, Rabbeinu Tam says, is an old Gzeira. You know, we should just know in general, when we have Gzeiras de Rabbanan, so it wasn't that one day the Rabbanan met and they made all the Gzeiras de Rabbanan. Gzeiras de Rabbanan were formulated over time. It's not always clear exactly, but certain things, sometimes the Gemara says there's certain things that are very old. So the Gemara says, for example, well, clearly, I mean, we're coming up to Hanukkah, obviously, Purim happened in history several centuries before Hanukkah, so that the Din de Rabbanan of Mikra Megillah long preceded the Din de Rabbanan of lighting Hanukkah candles. That's why the Rambam writes in the beginning of the Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam writes, lighting Chanukah, there's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, like Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah was already on the books earlier than Ner Chanukah. So the Gemara says that certain things were instituted by Shlomo HaMelech or Beis Dino. I think the Gemara in Erevin says that about Netilas Yadayim, that we wash Netilas Yadayim before eating bread. The Gemara says that's also here. The Rabbeinu Tam says that this is also an old Zera. Yeah, the question. So that's the Gemara says. The Rabbeinu Tam says, it's Shema Gzera Kadmonisi. It's even earlier than Pasakum. That's the position of Rabbeinu Tam. The Chiddush HaRitva disagrees with this on that Gemara in Avodah Zarah Lamed Zayin Rebeis. He says that no, Pasakum came first because Pas is, kind of bread is the staple of life, so to speak, and people get together to eat, they always have bread. Okay, so disagreements. We don't have to spend that much time on just an interesting historical question, but at least according to Rabbeinu Tam, really the Gzera of Bishalakum is a Gzera Kadmonis, he calls an old Din Rabban. Now, there are a number of important qualifications relating to this issur. And that, if you have the sheet, this is number 8. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Ches, Amar Aleph. Only the first couple of lines. It says, Amar of Shmuel Bar of Yitzchok Amar Rav, Kol Hanecho Kemos Shehu Chai, Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Ovdei Kochanim. Any food which can be eaten as is, meaning without cooking it, raw, so to speak, any food that can be eaten without cooking it, the Gzeir of Bishul Akum does not apply to this item. That's what that's how the Gemara says. Gemara doesn't exactly say why that is, but the Rashba is a work by the Rashba called Toras Habayis. So in the Toras Habayis to the Rashba, he explained that the Gzeir was, Kloma, this is in the Bayis Gimel Shar Zayin, he writes, Klomar lo osu elamashin ishtana ayidei ha'or. The only time the Isser Bishol Akum was imposed by the Chacham is by something which its character changes, it becomes cooked through fire. Okay? And as the hechsher achilaso, that the fire is what's makshir, it makes it edible. Kedover shaloha yoroi mikor l'achila v'huch shal achila ayidei ha'or. It's only something which before wasn't edible, and it became edible through fire. Therefore, if you have an item which is perfectly edible raw, and people do eat it raw, and then a goy happened to cook that, so the gzeira, we don't have to add on. That was what the chacham also, they asked only items which are not edible raw. That's what this opinion in the Gemara says. So for example, certain vegetables, I guess, certain fruits, people can eat them plain, or they can have them cooked up, some of the carrots or whatever. Apples, people eat apples raw, people have baked apples, whatever. Things like along those lines, the Isser of Bishul Akum does not apply to those foods. That's what the Gemara says. That's at this point. Then the Gemara goes on again, as Avodah Zarah Lamed Ches Amar Aleph, the Gemara says, Besura Masnu Hachi. That's how they learned the teaching in the city of Sura. However, Pumbedisa Masnu Hachi and Pumbedisa, they learned it differently. Sura and Pumbedisa were the two of the big cities in Bavel where you had the principal yeshivas. The main yeshivas were in Sura and Pumbedisa. Pumbedisa was where Shmuel was, he was in the Hardar, and Pumbedisa, his Talmidim, and Rav was in Surah. Anyway, these were the two big, I think they know today where they are, I think in Iraq, I think they know where these cities are. So in Pumbedisa they learned it, in Surah they learned it one, and Pumbedisa had a different take on this ruling. It says, Amar of Shmuel bar Yitzhak Amar Rav, Kol she'eno nechol al shulchan melochan lafos bo sapas, ein bo mishum b'shul av dekacham. Another limitation, it says that anything which is not fit to be ole al shulchan melachem, meaning it would not be served at what we might call today a state dinner, type of food that's served at a royal banquet, shulchan melachem, also the iser bishalakim does not apply. Something like a more snack-oriented, or it's a lighter type of food, or it's something that's not choshev enough to be served at a fancy banquet, a fancy dinner, also it doesn't apply. You know, and that also throws in the phrase here, lalafes bo sapas, something that would accompany the bread as a main course, so to speak. In those days, everything was built around the bread. But that's what the Gemara says over here. And the Gemara mentions some nafkaminas between these two approaches and so on. That's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, as I say, daf lamed ches amud aleph. So it's an interesting question, actually, a dispute among the Rishonim. We have two different statements here, both attributed to Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok in the name of Rav. One is that Bishul Akum does not apply to something which can be eaten raw, something can be eaten as is. Another statement that Bishul Akum does not apply to food which is not worthy or not choshev enough to be, would not be presented at a state dinner, at a fancy banquet. So do we passing like one? Do we passing like the other? Do we require both? And then how does it go? So the Rambam says, in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, the same parak Yud Zayin, the ninth source if you have the paper, the Rambam writes, Akum shebishel anu yayin o cholav o dvash o prishin o chayotze be'elam ikol dova nechol kmos shu chai harei elam mutarim. The Rambam paskins now like the first opinion, the first version, the surah version, that anything which can be eaten raw, there's no isser, it's mutar, there's no velo gozru el al dovash eino nechol kmos shu chai. The only gzer of bishel akum on something which is not edible raw, kagon, basar, the dog, something like meat, fish, eggs, and things along those lines. I don't know what they say about sushi today. I don't know, people eat sushi. I don't know, it's a different world paper. Do it, huh? What, the rice, yeah. Right, that's true, the rice wraps it up. I don't know, but I don't know what they'd say about sushi. You know what, I think Jackie Mason said that he thinks that sushi was invented by two Jews who want to figure out how they can open up a restaurant without having to buy an oven. So they came up with sushi. But anyway, leaving sushi aside, most types of fish are not that people don't usually eat the most of some fish. People do eat raw, but that's what the Rambam says. Meat certainly, although they have, what do they call that? There's some type of meat also. Tatar, yeah, that's what it is. So also little raw bits, right? Huh? Okay, I knew I have the expert here. So. Exactly. But okay, in general, the Rambam says these things like these, eggs also, eggs with the chazan drinks eggs, no? Before the Hanukkah Musa gargles a few eggs down. But all right, generally speaking, these foods are not edible raw. Yes, yeah, so again, according to the Gemara, the whole issue of Bishul was only on things, I guess, that would be served, you know, in the normal way, they'll get together, things are eaten raw, I suppose, that's not the normal way of eating. The whole issue was to prevent socialization, right? So therefore, when it's cooked and so on, so special food, but if it's a food that are eaten raw, so I guess those were not the type of things that they felt that they would socialize over. I'm not sure, historically, well, that's the case, but that's what it looks like. It looks like the foods that were cooked. So that's when you invite somebody over, you didn't serve them raw food, you also serve them cooked food, I think. Yeah, so that's a chilek we have by pas like that. But we do, you know, by pas palta, we have pas by that, but we don't have that chilek by bishul. Yeah. Right, that especially now. Right, today they get quite tuna fish is a question, I'm guessing about potatoes or french fries or whatever it is that they do, you know. Somebody in the White House at one time, they served hot dogs or somebody to some, I don't know. A lot of this is subject to social mores of the time. Oh, so we'll get to coffee in a second. Good, we'll see. Good, there's all the background. Just to understand this. Yeah, no, coffee today is served as a dessert everywhere. It's a fancy. Sure, the fanciest banquets. We'll get to coffee in a moment. But anyway, this is what the Rambam says. Yes, he said, even if the goy cooked all these things, so the mutter, the only us if it has to be cooked, im bishlo akum etchilu v'atzof, v'lo mishtatek yisrael, v'lo bishul harei lo yisurin. Rambam throws in something which I'm not talking about right now, but the Rambam says, even those things have to be cooked, it's only a problem, bishlo akum, if the goy cooked it from beginning to end. But if a Jew participated in some way in the cooking, then it's also not bishul akum. That's the heter that's used in restaurants and hotels that are kosher. A lot of times the chefs and the workers in the kitchen are not Jewish. So it's the job of the rabbi, the mashgiach, or the owner, if it's a religious owner, the observant owner, so he'll turn on the fire or he'll adjust the flame. Like the Gemara talks about the poskim talk about throwing in a wood chip. Today we don't have wood fire, but just contribute in some way. So that's usually what's done. It's part of the job of the mashgiach in the morning to turn on the fire. Sometimes you have to be careful. Yeah.
You were the
mashgiach, good?
Yeah.
On the U.S. Guard.
Where the bishul has to cook a certain amount.
Right, right. Ben Yusoy, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a further question. How? Right, right. How much, exactly, how much do you have to cook? So the Ramo is makely, says any type of contribution. The Beis Yosef and the Chabar is stricter about it. The Sfardim are stricter about it in this regard. It has to be cooked to a point, you know, there's a certain minimal cooking, like Hilchos Shabbos. Right, there's the most famous bandit in the history of, Ben Drusoy. The famous, probably the most famous robber, certainly in Talmudic history. Ben Drusoy was a guy, Beis Lakish is true, he turned around. But Ben Drusoy, the idea of Ben Drusoy, the Gemara explains in Shabbos, Ben Drusoy was a bandit who was always on the run. You know, he was always like one step ahead of the posse. You know what I mean? He was, so therefore he didn't have time when he would sit down to eat. He didn't have time to make a fire and to sit and relax because the police were one step behind him. So he would cook the food as just to the barely edible. You know, and they would wolf it down and run on to his next hideout. So that's called ben drusoy. Ben drus machal ben drusoy means edible al yedei adchak. It's the minimal amount that it's cooked. So that's a decided. Just to turn on the fire doesn't help. You have to cook it to a point like that. That's a chumr. A chumr decided that they follow it. Yeah. So they don't rely on this heter. Anyway, that's one thing the Rambam said. That was a side point. Then the Rambam goes, but he did say again, he did paskin like that first shita in the Gemara, the Surah version, that it's on the whole issur of Bishlakal only applies when it's not edible raw. Then he says, this whole thing is only talking about something which is Ola Shulchan Alachim, Lacha Abol Paskin. Go on, Basar, Beit, and Dogim, and Gelsabam. Aval Dover, She'ein Ola Shulchan Alachim, Lacha Abol Paskin, Tumis and Shashokal, various types of fruits or vegetables, and also Afal Pi She'ein Echom Chaim, even though they're not edible raw, Harelu Mutar Mechain Kol Kayotzabam. So the Rambam Paskin's in effect like both sitas. The Rambam says both the Kula, and the food has to be both inedible raw and fit to be put on the Shulchan Malachim. That's the opinion of Rambam. That goes money those quotes there in those rage that there are those who disagree. Not everybody holds like that Rambam. The Tosfos discussed in Abu Dazar Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph of the Masel Ikar Beinayhu talks about certain types of fish. Omar Rabbi Natan also seems to say that it only applies. He holds I think the cool in both ways. Why? He says, because in the middle of the fourth line, he says, the b'shal sofrim halech achar hamekel. The whole din is a din drabbanan anyways. Let's remember, again, like the Rambam said before, this whole thing is a din drabbanan, so we have the right to say that in a din drabbanan, there's room to be mekel. And therefore, you kind of require both. It is a machokas rishonim, but in the Shulchan Aruch as well, in Yeredeya Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, that's Hilchos Machale Ovei Kachavim, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Aleph, the Mechaber writes, Dovar she'eno nechol kmo shu chai, something which is not edible raw. V'gam ola al shulchan malachim. Also, it is fit to be put on a royal banquet table. Lafas vasapas ola parperes shebishul oved kocham afilo bekli yisol veishol osim yishul oved kocham. So again, the mechaber passing like this as well. So that's all the background material. What I want to get to now is the question that we advertised at the beginning. The question is, what about coffee? What about going out for a cup of coffee, based off the Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks or whatever? So first I'll mention, obviously, sometimes these places have flavored coffees where the syrup or the flavoring could be a problem. Let's assume we're talking about a regular cup of coffee without any of the fancy flavorings. That you have to check in each place what flavorings are used. That goes without saying. So again, we're only talking here about something where we know that the ingredients are not a problem. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis talks about water, because the Pasuk says later in the Torah, when the Jews were passing through, they were going to pass through the land of Edom. So they said, we'll just pass through whatever we purchase, whatever we want, we'll buy from you. They didn't let them go through ultimately. But they said, Ocha b'kesef tashbireni v'chalti umayim b'kesef t'kinik v'shosisi. So the Gemara says, just like mayim is something which is certainly something that doesn't change through cooking. Water is drink it plain, it can drink it hot, and so on, it doesn't matter. So water is sort of an example of something which does not change, as the Gemara concludes, the Gemara says water is sort of the example of something which is not changed, so to speak, through cooking. Now it's noteworthy that toast. So therefore, water, heated water. If we assume that a coffee is heated water, a tea, so then it should be and it should not be a problem at all. Bishalakum. Tosfos points out in different Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, Lamed Aleph Beis Duwans B'Tarvayu. When he talks about chasnus, he does mention that there's a different issue, even if there's no problem of bishul akum, but there is a problem if of getting together just in terms of socialization beyond a once in a while circumstance. That's what Tosfos says, the 13th source, you have in the papers. He says, even when it was mutter and it was no bishul akum problem, there's no chasnus problem per se with the food, still, Rav Popo and Rav Acha, they wouldn't sit in the home of a goy or in a place, a goyish coffee house, not coffee house, a bar or whatever it is, because unless it was the akroy ba'alma, just akroy ba'alma, occasionally would be able to go there, but otherwise it's a problem because again, even if they're just getting together, they would try and avoid that as well. So, okay, but that could be. That's what Tosa says, but it could be. Could also be. Now, so again, in terms of coffee, so the Tosus then goes on to mention something else. The end of that Tosus. Tosus, huh? No, Tosus doesn't say it. You said it makes sense, but Tosus doesn't say it. Tosus doesn't say it. Yeah, it could be, but Tosus doesn't say it. At the very end, Tosus says, I think Tosus in Avodah Zarah Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, it says, V'od yesh tam acher lahatir ha-sheicher. He's not talking about coffee. He's talking, I don't think, you know, in the days of the Gemara didn't have coffee. They didn't know about coffee would appear. But it says, O'd yesh tam acher. I think, where was coffee? I think in Turkey it was discovered. Some of the, you know, I mean, it caught on very quickly, but it was, I don't think it's, you know, I don't think the Gemara, they didn't seem to know about it. But it says, V'od yesh tam acher lahatir ha-sheicher. The ain bo mishum bishlov de-kacham. Sheicher is the same idea, right? Because it's water that's prepared with various grain ingredients, it becomes beer, right? So Tosus says not a problem. Why? So here we have a problem. What's the problem with coffee? The problem is on the one hand it's water. So we saw in the Gemara itself that water is no shaychus of bishul akum by water. On the other hand, the coffee beans. Okay, the ground, what makes the coffee, or the tea leaves, or whatever, that is not edible raw. That you don't eat those by themselves. So that is shayach to bishul akum. So what wins, right? So Tosus is not talking about coffee and tea, but Tosus talks about shechar. But it's the same idea. It's water. It's principally water. It's liquid, but it has this flavoring in it from these other products which are not eaten raw. So Tosus says the chiddush is no. You see that water remains the ikar ingredient. How do we know that? Milchus brachas. Because what bracha do we make on beer? We make shahakol. We don't make bar pri hadama. Even though the hops and the barley and the corn or whatever else goes into beer are things that grow out of the ground. If you ate them, it would be a bar pri hadama. And yet, when they come into this flavored item, when they add their flavor to this product that we call beer, with the Tosus called shechar, so it says Tosus, you see that the hilchos brachos, it's called shahakol. It goes, the water is considered the principal item in this mixture. It's principally water for brachos purposes, so therefore Tosus is the same thing for bishul akum purposes. Memela, that's what Tosus says. So based upon this, the pri chodesh in that siman in the Shulchan Aruch in the Yerodeya siman kuf yud dalad, Yerodeya siman kuf yud dalad in sif aleph. Towards the end, he has an essay about this, and he says towards the end, lefi zeh, let me just find it. He talks not only about coffee, but he talks about, spelled over here, Gimel Yud Kuf Vav Lamed Aleph Tesu Jikolaria, chocolate, that's all about, right? Same idea. So he says, therefore, the people are Mekel, Fiza HaMekel, the Shaker Shal Tvua, okay? So he says, maybe Tvua is different, okay? Ava Mashkin Shal, other things, Ashar Paris are Mutter, he says, the Kamosh Lal Pisa, Mutter Lishtos Hakave. You look in the Rechon, talk about every time coffee is spelled differently. Here, the Pichodah spelled the Kuf Aleph Vav Vav Ayin. Mutra Lishtos Hakava coffee, the base of the Chum. Sha'afo Pisha Enonecho Kamel Shulchai, even though the beans are not edible raw. Mikomokom, it's not part of a meal. And so he says, Eno Osalaf Zarapaz. The Imkain Les Bay Mishum Shul the Chum. Umahach Kama Gufa Yesh Lahatir Min Mashke. You can also be matter this chocolate drink. Okay, sha'af shemikas mehem malach shemos apas. Some people do use chocolate with bread. I guess like in Eretz Yisrael, they have the chocolate spread, right? It's popular. He says, nonetheless, mikol makom ruvah da'al moshosin osho below it is impossible. Lav hachish lahat. And he said, besides that, and this is questionable now, as Joel was saying before, on the Chodesh writes, b'lav hachish lahat yer bein hakave bein min zeshol chikolati chocolate, v'chihecha the bottle ha'pri, l'gabe ha'mayim linen brocha, just like the tree, the product, the bean, or the chocolate, whatever it is, also bean, cocoa bean, I guess, is bottled to the liquid in terms of Hilchos Brachos, make a shahakol, the halom barchin alei shahakol, hachinami bottle in an Easter bishul. It's also bottled for the purpose of Easter bishul, like Tosus says. The Pichadosh, I think, is the first, or one of the first, that actually speaks specifically about Paschim regarding coffee, that there's no problem of bishul akum with regards to coffee. This is not what everybody holds. In the next source that I'm on page 14, the Ponim Eros, the Ponim Eros in Chelek Beis Simon Samach Beis, he quotes the Pri Chodesh, and then he writes, he quotes the whole Pri Chodesh, and then he says, he doesn't think that it's right, is a li nira de ein dvar mukhrachim, okay, he thinks it's not correct, he thinks that's only, remember I said before, the Gemara says it's only a problem, Bishul Akum, if it's Ola al shulchan melachim, if it's worthy of being put on a royal table, l'laf beisas hapas, to accompany the main course. So he thinks that's the prichodesh paskin zat literally, and therefore that's why it's who's coffee, because coffee doesn't, doesn't accompany the main course. Even today it doesn't accompany the prichodesh. The ponimiros finds it questionable whether we paskin like this, prichodesh or not. In the sugya itself, now others disagree. Okay, the Hassam Sofer has an interesting point defending the shita of the prichodesh, the kula. There's the prichodesh in his kedushin to Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Aleph, and the Beis, the Divrei Shecha Shel Nachri. He says he mentions the idea of the bracha, and he says Efshar Shetzotu Dvar B'Shecha Sheorim the Hasorim Atzon Nimochim V'Yotzei Kol Kocha Mebishol. Okay, he says there are some people who want to be machmer by beer because there the I guess whatever ingredients or certain types of drink, the seorim, whatever it is, lose any, they're totally absorbed. Like, I don't know if that's totally true. I'm not sure. I've never gone to a beer manufacturing plant. But anyway, he writes, Mikol mochem ha-kafe, coffee, shehitra prichodosh, bevada hutor mitamze, shegarine ha-kafe, einam nimochem b'mayim. They're not absorbed. The coffee beans are not absorbed into, when you make fresh coffee, the grind, whatever it is at the end, is left there. Right? And so says the Chassam Sofer, even if you want to argue by certain items, maybe you can argue that when the item that was added is dissolved into the liquid, so maybe that does become a Bishal Akum problem. But here, says the Chassam Sofer, it's another Tzad Lahakel by coffee, because the beans are left, the only thing comes out, so to speak, of the bean is the flavor. So you're not really eating the bean at all. In other words, Mayim, water itself, is not subject to Bishal Akum. The beans maybe should be because it's not edible raw, but the Chassam Sofer, you're not eating the beans anyways. Right? That's not what you're eating. And it's not absorbed. You're not even eating it all. It's not that it's absorbed into the water. I'm just finishing his lush, and he says, Raklitas Tam, Ba'almo, it's just to take the flavor out. Okay? The less for Mishum Mishul Anachram. Okay? Therefore, he says there's no problem of Bishal Akum by the coffee. That's the Chassam Sofer. Yeah. Yeah. Change the bracha. Yeah, it's a different way to look. I hear what you're saying. Right, here's the coffee, so it should be more machmer. Okay, but I guess in terms of bishulei akum, it's not a matter of. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Right. Well, what Nachum is saying is that we know when it comes, for example, to the product of grapes, so the product of the grape is considered more significant than the grape itself. Right? Yayin, and therefore the bracha changes. Right, the yayin is its own. It's not just for say apple juice or shahakol, but wine has its own bracha. And lamanishtana brikas hafa is ayah because the shemen is more. Okay, you're right. It's an interesting. All right. Nonetheless, for bishalakum, they didn't say it that way, huh? That we can see. I mean, scientifically something comes out, right? The flavors, whatever molecules come out. But that's the Chassam Sofer's point. The Aruch HaShulchan says something interesting too. And I hear your point. I don't know. Yeah. It's primarily water, that's what this is.
Well,
it seems to me that. Yes, I think the Chassam Sofer is saying the end product is that there's something in the water. But that which is not edible raw, and then with the beans. Grain. Yeah.
If you leave it alone for a long time, you're going to see the coffee is going down.
I mean, the beans will reabsorb it.
Exactly.
Does that make a difference? I don't know. I don't know if that'll make a difference by Bishal Akum, maybe.
The difference between that is a big difference.
Yeah, I hear. The what?
Juice.
Yeah.
Juice is
right. That's an interesting question. Like it's thick, usually said. Blila raka, but a blila ava means
look.
Right. Right, right. Here you have to cook it. So what'll be by Bishal Akum? There, the tomatoes itself edible raw also, so maybe from both perspectives it wouldn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear. Okay, I didn't see anyone deal with tomato juice, interesting question. But again, according to the Chassam Sofer, Aruch HaShulchan says also something different. Aruch HaShulchan says that usually cooking you know, changes the texture of the item that's being cooked. That's the nature of cooking. But with the coffee, the beans are sort of, I guess they soften somewhat. They have to. Huh? Right, that's his point. That's the point. That's exactly the point. That's why. Yeah, that's it.
So,
the tomatoes is a question with the beer. No, that the Pichada says, even those who want to be machmer by the beer, he says your point. The Pichada says with Tvua you can argue, but by coffee it's mutter. That's exactly the Pichada's point. Okay, but I didn't see when talking about the tomato juice issue. The Aruch HaShulchan also says again because it doesn't change. In other words, you have a tea bag, so after the tea is, it's still there. In other words, it didn't absorb, nothing changed. I mean, I guess something scientifically, physically changed, but basically nothing we can see changed. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan. The Pesach Tshuva, there in the Siman Kuf Yud Dalad, over here in Yerod there, Kuf Yud Dalad, same Siman. But the Bracha. Yeah. For the other purpose, right? That's what he was asking before. The ikkar is the bean, right? That's what he was asking. The bean is the ikkar, right? That's like what Nachum did. Yeah. That's what more or less you were asking. That's the principal purpose of it. I don't know. Now, Pesach Tshuva says.
Right,
the bracha doesn't change.
Yeah. All oranges were grown.
Just for the Jews. Jews oranges, yeah.
Then we say ha'etz.
Right. But we don't. Because if they were,
all coffee beans
are grown for coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah, well, the mice, we still say shahako. I mean, the truth of the matter is, I don't know into it now, but there was actually a tumult in the poskim about what the bracha should be on coffee. I'm going to bring it in here, but some poskim actually wonder, is that all true? Bichadosh assumes that it is true. I think that one of the tumults when the chassidim began to, became popular to make kiddush on Shabbos morning on schnapps, which the Misnagdim didn't like. They said to make on wine. But one of the issues is, and we don't even know what the correct bracha is on schnapps, because maybe there shouldn't be shahakos here, So it's a good question. I mean, it's a hilchos bracha. Lamaisa we pass in shahako, but the people are mayor that in general, and not in this city. But I think I saw somebody bring up what even the Pichadosh's point, not so pasha, but Lamaisa is how we pass him. The Pesach Tshuva says. He quotes this kulach from the Pichadosh, mutal ishtos kafe, and so on, based on the Pichadosh. However, he says some people want to be makel with coffee because it's not ola al shulchan malachim, and that the Pesach Tshuva says not true. He says avol kafe einenu rol ola al shulchan malachim. We see that it very much is umizamni al people. So therefore, his conclusion is therefore says the Pesach Tshuva. Just reading it lochein. Roi leval nefesh shelo lishtos kafe or tei me'ovik kochavim. He quotes from the Panimirus, that he says Adoni Avi Zitnim, the Panimirus is an ancestor of his. He says he thinks that there's room to be machmer, not primarily what to do, but he says this Chachuva says the bal nefesh should be machmer not to drink coffee or tea manufactured by a goy. Yeah.
We gotta distinguish.
Yeah.
Just like the equivalent of hot powder, Dunkin' Donuts.
Right, I understand, but we didn't see that. We didn't see that chilat though by Bishul Akum. We saw it by Pas Akum. We didn't. I don't think we. Yeah. That's the root of it. Yeah. Right. There's less of a problem of chasnas. Enochanami. The Yad Ephraim also on the same quotes from the Yaakov Emden. No, so we know that by Pas Akum we're lenient. We'll eat bread which was baked by a goy. Because there's no problem chas. Not even if I go and buy a loaf of bread, I don't know who baked it. It was baked by some factory 100 miles from here, and he doesn't know me. I don't know him. But in terms of bishul, this is a chumrah. The Yad Ephraim also says the coffee. He just mentioned avalishtos kafe the shikolada coffee and chocolate nikva the base of a kavada osir. He says to go to a base akum all the time regularly. He said there's room to be machmenat also. So. We should just understand that there are some achron, there are some poskim who say that lemaisa there is room to be stringent by these items. The what's that? Make a difference, you mean? You're using yourself, you mean? You're making your own. No, that would make a difference. Oh, but there's always stuff in there. You're just squeezing it out. I don't think about it. He cooked it, no? What does it matter? If the goy cooked it, the goy cooked it.
Oh,
he put it in, no? Oh, I don't know. No, but he put it in. That's a question, a Groma question. Yeah, maybe that's the other side. I don't know how it works. Do you participate, or it's just they just squeeze it, just push a button, it comes out? I don't know. The other tshuva is about it. I stress a lot of posting like the Radbaz of the tshuva and Chela Gimelson and Tuf Reish Lamed Zayin or Elif Samach Beis overall. He says that there are those who, he thinks that he mentions that it's not royal also Shulchan Malachim, that we dismissed already. But he says certainly. I don't think it's proper to go ahead lishtos also b'mesiba shel akum, to go sitting together and have a big party, everyone's drinking coffee. No, that's what the Radbaz thinks is a problem. But again, lemaisa rov of the poskim are makel about it. The Chidor quotes in the Birkei Yosef, in the Shura Brocha, on that same Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, the earliest Siman Sivkot and Gimel. He says he heard that the quotes from the Arizal did not drink coffee that was manufactured by a goy. And he quotes from Yaakov Emden like that. He quotes the Panim, he quotes many of the people, and he says that even the Radbaz that we just mentioned, Hitir HaKafei, the Aim of Shem Mishloi Nochem, Ach Lo Yishtev Nisibosom. Again, he was makel in terms of drinking coffee, but not in a get-together that was, attended or part of what, a Goyish type of get-together. It's interesting, huh? One could argue that there's room to make on that, I would think. Yeah. Well, the business meeting, the people have to drink that, I think we would be make. Yeah.
The issue
is not
drinking the coffee per se. I mean,
right. No, there are things, but what they're saying is, even if it's no problem with Bishal Akum, but if it's at a get-together with... Yeah, right. I think so. Now, it's interesting, the Halachas Kanas is a Tshuva and Chelek Aleph Siman Tes. He was asked a different question. He was asked what's bracha, like we mentioned before. He was also asked whether he can use coffee for Havdalah, because it qualifies Kamar Medina. We know that Havdalah, you can use other drinks besides wine. So should coffee be able to... And that relates to the same question, because it's really mostly water... Then there would not be something you could use as Chamar Medina for Havdalah.
Yep.
Chamar Medina means something that people drink in that land, that it's considered a drink that people accept as in this country.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, I think it's generally assumed that it's something that people drink to quench your thirst, as opposed to say coffee. Let's say coffee, you don't drink to quench your thirst, right? I mean, I think that's a chiluk. But anyway, he paskins, the Kalachos Kanos paskins, you certainly can't make kiddush on it, but he says, as far as Bishal Akum, he says also, no problem with Bishal Akum, but if you're going to drink it among, in a get-together, like Jackie was saying before, his lashon is, Av Mishum Moshav Leitzim Ika. It's a emotion. People sit around drinking coffee all day. You know the type? Right? Drinking coffee. Just a couple of other things. It's a little late, so I just want to finish up. The Darkei Tshuva in Yerodeya, Darkei Tshuva from the Munkacha, has summarized all the Achonim. So in this Simon in Yerodeya and Tzirkot and Beis, he also quotes that Rova the Poskim are Mekel on it, and he thinks he suggests perhaps even the Arizal, who was Machmer, it was a personal Chumra. He didn't mean to suggest that everybody has to follow that. And so others write also the Chikrile, the Ben Ishchai. The Maisa people are Mekel. Interestingly enough, there's an important din by Hilchos Machale Akum in the previous siman, Kuf Yud Gimel, Sif Yud Aleph. So the Gemara there says, the Shulchan Aruch there says, Hiniach Yisrael Agaba Eish, Hiniach Ovid Chobin L'Shamar B'Hafu V'Ein Adun Salka Ovid Chobin Achal Agi L'Machal Ben Yisrael Mutar. The issue that the Shem mentioned before, okay. And there's some part with Sufik, so the Mechaber passes that it's Mutar, and the Ramo adds, V'chein Kol Sufik B'Shulei Ovde Kachob Makeotu Ben Mutar. Any Sufik in a Bishal Akum question, we can be making. What did the Rabbanan? So therefore, even if there are some poskim or machmer, it would seem that since we have a preponderance, at least many, many poskim or mekel, to assume that coffee is not a din in Bishal Akum, then I think there's room to be lenient, especially since it's only a din derabban. The Chai Odom, we'll move to wrap up, the Chai Odom in Klal Samech Vav, Sif Yodala, talks about Shechar. However, he says, there's another problem to bring up. And that's how some of the Achronim mentioned also. The Chayodim says, what about the fact that the coffee is served very often with milk. You go to a good, so there's no bishalakim problem with coffee. But people tend to add milk or cream, whatever it's a coffee, maybe, at least in his time, you know, he lived, the milk was a problem. And since people often add milk, you have to be concerned about it. Again, Moshe Feinstein and others have a heter, see, so Frank, I have a heter when you know that is the custom in this land not to allow milk. I don't know, even today, I'm not sure that's true everywhere. I mean, people travel, I remember I was once in, my wife and I went on vacation in Mexico, so I thought we shouldn't drink them. I don't know what the law is in there. I don't know. Maybe it is. Huh? Somebody told me once, went to Europe to whatever it is, and they saw the ice cream store that was an American chain. He said the rabbi that they asked over there thought it was mutter to buy ice cream. I wasn't sure why. I don't know what the story is with milk in other countries. In America, you know. That's what's funny. They have to stay there. Yeah. That's how they got it passed. It's just a business decision. No, certainly I'd imagine in the Far East and Asia where they serve all kinds of unusual types of food. Huh? It is awesome. And they'll tell you that it's awesome. Other than Chavisol, obviously, yeah. I guess, if you can get it. Can you get it? And can you get Chavisol there? Can you get it? You probably can't get it. No. Right. That makes it. Yeah, I would say in the Far East almost for sure that... Yeah, but I wasn't sure. I remember the Mexico, I told my wife not to have any milk. I wasn't sure what the law is. But so the Chochmas Sodom brings up that issue. There's also a Tshuva Noel Yehuda, unfortunately, on the sheets. The person typed the sheets, he corrected the mistake. It was my wife, I didn't write it clearly. He printed from Madura, Kinyana, it's from Madura Kama. In his Tshuvas, he says, Al Dvar HaKas is the Yordea Chilak, Madura Kinyana, Yordea Chilam Lamed Bob. But Yehuda writes, Advar Kafe Sha'al Sha'ena Mehudin, what's the story? So he says he thinks that it's Osir because of a different problem. What are you serving it in? Okay, what is it? And maybe it was cooked in him, but you have glasses or bowls or whatever, not bowls, but mugs, rather, that had other stuff in it. You don't know what it's being served in. So Yehuda brings up that problem. And he says, you know, again, even if it's not a problem of Bishalakom, it's conceivably a problem of what is put in. So Ravad Yosef actually has an interesting thing in his tshuva. That's the last thing that I printed on the paper. Yes, there's a tshuva about this. So Ravad Yosef in the Chelek Dalav Yichavada Simon Membeis, Ani Tera Machale Amarti Leva'er Dover Hamotzi Eitzel Hanosim B'matos. People go on a plane. The Chever Shalchever Lo Yudis, not a Jewish airlines. U'magish Nisneim Kafei V'Kosos V'Safarim Shalim. They bring coffee in a cup. L'chora apo fi she'ein lachos b'kafei mishum b'shloi goyim. Mikol mokum yesh lachos l'masher regilin limzo b'chleim cholav shechol b'goy b'ein sholoi. Who knows what else in those glasses? Now, the truth of the matter is, any plane I've been on, they usually serve you in plastic. Right? He must travel in business class or first class. Okay? Because I've never had anything served to me other than a paper cup. But if I just say, if I guess, assume the whole plane gets those fancy mugs and glasses. Well, Lamaisa, those who have it, there's not only a problem of what there was in the glass, but also what it was washed with. Now, as he goes on, in the tshuva, he says, there's room to be makel about, you know, stuff that was washed, because usually stuff that's washed is, there's detergent in it, so it's not some common gum and so on. He raises it, right, so they go to the Starbucks and they get it in a cup. It's the styrofoam cup, so it's a one-time use only, so it's not a problem. But again, if you're serving in a glass usually we assume also is not bole, a glass per se. Okay, it's not, but sometimes coffee served in a mug, which is porcelain. So at the end, he says, at the end of that long paragraph, he says, Al koponim bivadai she'ef shalismoch, you know, there's room to be lenient. Porcelain, even if it's only in a porcelain, there's room to be made. His conclusion is, mutol ishtos kafe shal goyim, ve'ein lachush bezele isha bishule goyim, ve'kosu achonim shekein poshar aminek b'chol ha'makomos. That's the widespread minik that Jews are making about this. They're not sure of the din. You see how the firm Moilam do it, so then you know, you can follow that. Interesting. But those who want to be machmer, not to drink coffee, okay, made by a goy. The world is make on coffee, but the Chochmas Sodom, others are concerned about the get-togethers, and perhaps there's room to be machmer if one wishes to do so. Okay.